Our scripture this morning is taken from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the writing of His power. Amen. This morning, I want us to think about a couple things. But one of the most important things that I want us to hear is the fact that Paul was called to preach to the Gentiles. Now, I looked up this word in the Greek, and I want us to recognize, go back and try to gain what their understanding was, okay? This says that Paul was writing to the Gentiles. That meant everyone other than the Israelites, okay? Everyone who was not an Israelite was a Gentile. And the term Gentile means people, groups of people, okay? Now, in the Greek, when he was talking about the people of God, he called them the L-A-O-S, and I'm not sure how it's pronounced, but they were the people of God. Whereas now he's saying, you Gentiles, who formerly were not the people of God, have a chance to be the people of God. So I want us to hear this very, very strongly. Now, I want you to also think about what had been happening in church after church as Paul would go and set up and share the gospel. And let's just quickly go over what the gospel means. Okay? The gospel means that God sent His only Son to pay for your sin, to pay for my sin, to pay for the sin of the world. It was offered freely to all. But sometimes people don't receive gifts. Have you ever gotten a gift that you just didn't see the need for? And what'd you do? You put it on a shelf and maybe you even re-gifted it. Okay? Sometimes that's how people treat the gift of Jesus Christ. They don't see the importance. They don't see that it's going to make a difference in their life. It's because they have not been able to grasp truth after truth after truth. You see, the Bible says that you need to build Scripture upon Scripture. And I don't know how many times in my life I swear God put something new in the Bible. But then I go to an old version that was printed years and years ago, and there it was. God is always putting something new because you and I are building Scripture upon Scripture upon Scripture. And as we gain those Scriptures, then all of a sudden words that we would swear were never there, all of a sudden stand out. So, this is the grace of God. To give to a people who were not His people, a people who needed God, to make them His people. Now, going back to where I started. The Judaizers. Remember those people? What were they trying to do? They were trying to come into each church and say, no, David, you can't come as a Gentile. You must become a Jew first. And then you can have Christ. And Paul said, no. That is not the gospel. The gospel is for all people. And that's what Ephesians, what he's trying to get across right here in this section is, guys, listen, this gospel is for all people. It's not limited. And you don't have to become a Jew to become a Christian. And I have been given that ministry. That was the ministry Paul had. And so on and on. And I want you to remember when Peter came to one of the churches and then some Jews came, what did Peter do? He withdrew from the Gentiles because the Gentiles were unholy in their way of thinking. They were second class. And you shouldn't associate with second class people. And Paul rebuked the apostle Peter. See, I'm so glad to see that because I have made mistakes in my life. Have you? Peter, one of the people who was so much in love with the Lord, who was willing to draw out his sword to protect his Lord, Peter found it harder to step back and to wait for God to establish his kingdom. Peter was ready to establish it. And I applaud the fact that he was ready. Because sometimes we get into the mode of, well, I'm just going to wait. I'm always going to wait. I'm always waiting because I've never stepped up to do what God has told me I need to do. What has God said? He has said, I want you to establish my kingdom throughout the earth. And so we want to remember that it is for all people. We had a conversation Thursday night in our Bible study, and I'm going to bring a little bit of that up. It came up, what would you do if a gay person came to church? And I said, I would love them. What would we do if a prostitute came to church? We better love them. Because our God loves them. Now, does that mean that we're supposed to participate? No. Does that mean that we're not going to preach the good news that God can set them free from the bondages they have? Guys, we need to recognize we are no better off than they were. All of us have had bondages that we've had to have set free. And if you haven't, then you don't know the full gospel because it says the truth will set you free. So I hope you are aware that truth after truth has come to affect your life and to change you and to set you free. We were the prisoners. In Luke 4, and that was the Sabbath school story this morning in our class. Luke 4, when Jesus came to the synagogue on the Sabbath, as was his custom, he picked up the book of Isaiah and he read, I have come to set the captives free. I have come to give freedom to those who are oppressed. Guys, we can change that word for depressed. Oppression causes depression. Have you ever realized that? He's come to set us free. He has come to give us sight. And how many of us have been blind? I was telling you about how sometimes I think God put in a new part in the scripture because I had been blind, because I didn't have enough of a foundation to grasp that gospel that was there. He's come to set us free. He's come to give us sight. He's come to get us past our depression. He's come to do so many things. He made the lame walk. He set the captives of the demons that were in people, he cast them out. The ministry has not changed. We are called to do all of these things. That is the gospel. That is the good news. You and I are now people of authority. And we need to learn to walk in authority. Christ's authority. It's not our own. It's nothing you and I deserve. It is another one of those grace things. Amen? So this morning, I just want us to recognize we are called to bring this good news to the world and to learn how to share it and how to get the doors open. If you have a new neighbor move into your neighborhood, take some cookies, bake a loaf of bread, and just go and greet them. Let them know that Christ resides at your house, and if they need you to pray, you'll be glad to do that. Think of ways that you can, at work, or in your clubs, or your social functions, let Christ shine. I was thinking about, Lana had a 31 party. And I didn't stay there, so I have no idea what did or didn't transpire. But what an opportunity to let Christ shine. And so you'll have to ask all the ladies that were at the 31 party whether Christ shined or not. I can't tell you because I didn't stay. I did bring in some extra pretzels and so forth. I don't know what all it was out there that I brought in extra. But you know, God has called us to be caregivers to the world. Let us take it very seriously. But it is a joy. Amen? Amen. Lord, we thank you so much. We glorify your name because mercy and grace have been applied. We thank you that the blood of Jesus flows now to cover our sins. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.